Reporting from Galveston Island in collaboration with Rachel Clark, I'm Katie Heim for Free Speech Radio News.
You're listening to Free Speech Radio News. FSRN has brought you uncensored news from the U.S. and around the world every day for more than 7 years. You can visit us online at fsrn.org to find out more about how you can help keep us on the air. That's fsrn.org.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI New York. The time is 7:03. That means it's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse.
Good evening, rather, to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, joined this week by Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
And Red Hecht.
Hello.
Not Kevin on the other side of the room.
Hello.
Mike.
Hi.
And Bernie S. down in Philadelphia.
No, greetings from San Francisco.
Whoa. Well, this is big news. Why are you on the other side of the country?
Well, it's not big news. I just our friends at Monochrome, Johannes and friends, are holding a conference out here in San Francisco, so I thought I'd stop out. And it's very beautiful here, so I'm glad to be on the West Coast.
Well, you kept that kind of quiet. I didn't know you were going out there.
Well, it was sort of a last-minute thing.
How about that? Well, you should go down to TourCon in San Diego, which is taking place this weekend.
That's a good idea. I might just do that.
I'm filled with good ideas. But tonight, the best idea people can have is to support the station, as we are still in the fundraiser. We have 2 more weeks of fundraising to go. I want to thank everybody. We did so well last week. We did, I think, about $4,500 in 1 hour. That's incredible, considering we did about $2,500 the first week. We're almost at our goal for the entire fundraiser for this show, which is pretty gosh darn good. About $2,500 is our goal per hour. Question is, can we do that tonight? Because tonight we're offering different things. We're offering different incentives, and I'm hoping people will call in for those as well.
I just have one question about the incentives. We're still offering the incentive that the radio station and the program stay on the air, right?
Yeah, that's the main incentive. That's what people should think about above all else, because that's always a very real danger that a place like this could go away. I mean, look at us. We're here on Wall Street, all right? We're here on Wall Street as Wall Street is crumbling around us, and it is. Did you see people out there? Oh, my God, they're going hysterical crazy. They're running around, stockbrokers with their hands in the air screaming.
There was a guy on fire.
Yeah, I saw that too. I thought that was unrelated, but regardless, Wall Street is a wild, crazy place, and we're watching it all fall apart right now. And we're here. Somehow we're here on Wall Street. We don't belong. We don't fit in, but we're here anyway. It's sort of where we, I guess, that's our theme. It's not fitting in. We don't fit in on the FM dial. We don't fit in the mainstream. We don't fit in outside where our studios happen to be. Yet somehow we do it. And you know how? We do it because of our listeners.
That's and Emmanuel?
Yes.
It's worth pointing out, as you're mentioning this whole Wall Street debacle, WBAI is not going to receive a $700 billion bailout with taxpayer money. We rely exclusively on the generosity and thanks of our listeners out there to pledge their meager support, an infinitesimally smaller contribution than we're all going to be asked to contribute to this this corporate bailout. So I urge listeners who enjoy listening to this show to call area code 212-209-2950 and support a cause that's truly worth supporting.
That's right. Yeah, $700 billion. We're not asking for that, and they don't ask for that. They just take that. They take that out of our pockets, and they go to benefit all the corporations that really, I think, deserve to go out of business. They deserve to feel the full wrath of the public because they've made so many bad decisions and squandered so much. But that's not going to happen. That's not going to be an option. We're not going to get to vote on it. It's just going to be taken from us. In this particular case, though, you have an option. You can decide. You can make up your own mind. And what we try to do to make things as pleasant as possible, if that's not pleasant enough for you as it is, we try and add little incentives by donating things ourselves. First of all, everybody who calls 212-209-2950 and pledges $30 or more gets an off-the-hook T-shirt. All right, that right there just applies across the board. But what we also have tonight as a special incentive for people who call and pledge $30, not only will you get that, but you'll get the brand new brand new 2600 T-shirt. Now, does anybody remember what the brand new 2600 T-shirt looks like? Nobody?
It's green.
I think I have an idea. Is this the one that involves wiretapping?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Ooh, it has an interesting flow chart, sort of a stylized flow chart mm-hmm. diagram of the different methods that law enforcement agencies and governments use to intercept our voice and data.
Now, Kevin, you came up with this idea for this shirt, I believe.
I did. I wrote it on a napkin.
You did. We lost the napkin, but then we remembered it a few months later and tried to reconstruct it on a piece of real paper, and the idea was born again. And basically what we have this, was it Bob and Carol talking to each other? Or was it Bob and Alice?
I thought it was Bob and Alice.
Bob and Alice trying to talk to each other. And Eve is getting in the way. Eve is an octopus. And Eve has all these different methods of intercepting phone calls, such as the Patriot Act, such as illegal wiretapping, such as simply climbing up on a telephone pole and clipping into the line. All sorts of different ways that phone calls can be intercepted today. And what you see on this T-shirt, you see it's pictorially represented, but it's also explained on the back just what exactly these things are. And it's an educational shirt as well as a very very interesting and beautiful, if I do say so, shirt that was designed by Fred, our artist from Montreal. So it's a meeting of all sorts of minds, and it's yours for a pledge of $30 to 212-209-2950 in addition to the Off the Hook T-shirt.
For anyone who doesn't know, those names that you threw out, Alice, Bob, Eve, those are generally used when describing communications protocols and the security of them, Alice and Bob being the two parties attempting to communicate, and then Eve stands for eavesdropper in mm-hmm. general.
Yeah.
And there's other names you can use, like Mallory for like a malicious Eve Robinson.
That's what Mallory means. I've seen Mallory. I didn't. Yeah. Okay, interesting. Yeah. So, but we did our homework on this. Yeah, but we included Bob and Alice and Eve.
Yeah, Eve is usually passive. Mallory will be like actively interfering with
But it. Nobody made Eve an octopus before, right?
I don't think so.
Because she has many arms, many tentacles, and they're in everything, and they're listening in all different ways. Voltaire is here. Welcome.
Hi. Are you sure she's an octopus? Because does she only have 8 ways of spying? Are there
well, actually, we had to make a limit because it is a T-shirt, and we could only really do 8 ways. Although we could do 50 ways, but then it gets very busy on the shirt, so we had to sort of cut it down. So these are the 8, greatest hits, and that's what you see on the shirt. So, yeah.
We should mention a special feature of this shirt about which I'm very excited, which is that you can get it in any size.
You can get it in any size. That's true.
This is probably the first time on Off the Hook we've offered the shirt in your choice of size, anywhere from small to triple extra large.
Now, I should point out the Off the Hook shirt still only comes in one size. All right, that's just going to be a generic size no matter what. That might change someday, but right now that's the case. But this shirt, this new 2600 T-shirt with the octopus and the phone spying espionage kind of thing, that will you have the choice of small, medium, large, extra large, extra, extra large, and extra, extra, extra large. I'm not kidding. We really have that. You have that choice. 212-209-2950. You know, our video screen is all messed up. It's all scrambled. It's like it turned into a pay channel or something, and I can't see what our total is. If anybody knows how to fix that that TV set,
smack it.
Have you tried smacking it?
I'm on the air. I can't smack anything.
Do we have a TV beacon?
You're welcome to try. Yes, Bernie.
Is this one of those TVs that has a diagonal control and a horizontal and vertical?
It has little knobs on the front. I think it might. I can make it scramble in different ways.
That doesn't seem any better.
You and some of our other listeners probably remember those TVs that had a diagonal control.
I've turned it off.
Vertical hold adjustment and things like that.
I turned it off and I turn it back on now.
Oh, the old reboot.
Did absolutely nothing.
Maybe the connection's bad. I'll go check.
Yeah, could you check your technical abilities? We have four calls on the line. That's great to see. 212-209-2950. We do have additional...
So for $30, you get two T-shirts.
Yes, you get two T-shirts.
That's
Was I not making myself clear? Yes, Mike, you get two T-shirts, not just one, two.
That's a pretty good deal. Yeah. So the off-the-hook shirt and the Eve the Octopus shirt.
Maybe I should also point out that you can't get the off-the-hook shirt in any other manner. You can't. Unless you attack us or something, we happen to be holding some.
Don't do that.
We don't sell them on the internet, or we don't sell them in person. They only are given to our listeners. And Red Hack, what have you done back there?
Nothing
at all. Well, it's still all messed up. You want to look at the front, and maybe there's a button there you could hit or something.
And so the shirts are basically like the show itself, in that they're only given to our listeners, and you can only get it by pledging your support.
How else would you give the show to people? They have to be given to listeners.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Right. Okay. But, you know, the shirts are transferable, though. You could give the shirt to somebody who doesn't listen to the show, and that would – are you hitting it?
So are you saying that the shirt did not come with the DMCA protection on it?
No, the our coffee mugs have DMCA, okay. But we're not offering those tonight.
So it's DRM-free.
Yeah, DRM-free. 212-209-2950. We have five calls on the line. That's great. Now, let me just introduce a couple other items, too. And this is above and beyond these items, so it's not like you're missing out on anything. If you're pledging now, you can always call back and pledge a second time and get these additional items that we're also offering. We have the off-the-hook sweatshirt. I'm sorry. I misspoke. The 2600 sweatshirt. It's been a long day. We have the black 2600 sweatshirt. This is not the zipper one that we had last time. This is the black one with the government seal on it, and it's a hoodie. It's a hooded sweatshirt. It's black in color. It's a pullover, and it's our more popular and also more expensive of the two. That is yours for a pledge of only $50. And
you know,
in addition, you get the off the hook T-shirt.
Just on my way here, mm-hmm. I was looking around my apartment and saying, I wish I had a black hoodie because the weather is getting colder and it would match the rest of my outfit.
And
I didn't have one, so I'm sitting here in a T-shirt. I'm going to freeze when I go outside. But if I had pledged for this sweatshirt, I'd be all set.
I don't think I've ever heard you express an interest in matching the rest of your outfit.
It's important.
All right, I'll remember that. So 212-209-2950. We have the hooded sweatshirts. And yes, the weather is menacing in the next couple of days. Well, you won't get in the next couple of days. I have to be honest about that. But believe me, there will be menacing weather ahead in the months ahead. And that's when you will have it. And you'll be thankful that you pledged $50 to get the 2600 hooded sweatshirt.
That once a year it gets really cold.
It gets cold more than once a year. And, you know, people do wear these things when it's not that cold, too. It somehow works both ways. But you can get all of this. You can get the 2600 T-shirt, the new 2600 T-shirt, the 2600 hooded sweatshirt, as well as the off-the-hook T-shirt for $80. Now, yes, you could call twice, pledge $30, and then pledge $50 and get two off-the-hook T-shirts. That's a little trick, so we're telling you about that as well. 212-209-2950. We have five calls on the line, which is great, and we want to keep that momentum coming so that we don't have to beg the entire hour. We want to see as many calls come in as possible. 212-209-2950. It's really a very good deal, but most importantly, you're supporting the radio station.
Yes, indeed. And if your sweatshirt has not arrived yet, or if you go for one of the other support options, you can still be warmed by the feeling that you're keeping the station and the show on the air.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because where else are you going to find this kind of talk? You know, what happens in 2 weeks?
What happens in 2 weeks?
2 weeks is our 20th anniversary on the air.
Good heavens.
20 years. We started in October of 1988. Actually, that was a special. That was a special that only aired once. And I think we actually, it was more than a year before we got on again, or maybe a little less than a year. But that's when it all started. October 8th, 1988, I believe, or October 7th, 1988, one of those days.
Is that a Wednesday?
It's a Wednesday. You know, I'm not really sure, to be honest. I think we're on one day after the actual anniversary. But here's the thing. I'm not sure if the date that we were on originally, it might have been at midnight, so the date might be wrong. It might be the Wednesday or the Tuesday. I don't know. The point is, it's going to be about 20 years in 2 weeks. So we have
October 8th is a Wednesday.
Okay. So then it's the 7th.
I think it was the 7th. But again, it might have been the night of the 7th into the morning of the 8th.
Ah.
So it's possible that, yes, we will do a show exactly on the anniversary. The point is that we've been here for a long time. We've talked about all kinds of interesting things. And imagine if that was never possible. Well, that was possible because of previous listeners and maybe some of our current listeners who called up in the past to keep this place going. And you're helping to make this place exist for people in the future. It's an investment, and it's a continuing process. And yeah, we have our bumps. We have many bumps. We have all sorts of controversies and things like that. But I think everybody agrees that we're better off having this place than not having this place. 212-209-2950, if that makes sense to you, give us a call and add your voice, add your support. Now, we also have, we have more stuff in addition. We also have what came out this summer. And I'm referring, of course, to the Best of 2600, the 888-page book.
How many?
888 pages. I wrote that down so I wouldn't forget the number. It's difficult to remember that. Yeah, it's huge. It is a huge book. It's incredible because we originally were supposed to have a book of about maybe 300 pages. And we told Wiley that, you know, we can't do this. It's impossible. We can't put the Best of 2600 magazine in such a small amount of space. It just can't happen unless we reduce the size of the print. So they gave us more space. They gave us 600 pages, and that still wasn't enough. So eventually we wound up with 888 pages. And Rob T. Firefly has the book in his hands right now.
Indeed, I do.
What do you make? You're thumbing through it. Looks like you're completely
I'm entranced.
Yeah, entranced
actually.
In the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, this book is really something. It's about you have sections, the 1980s in the beginning, later the 1990s and the 2000s. But this really is like a cross section of hacker history over the past 20, 30 years, and you can go back and the listeners of a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
I won't name numbers, but some of us will remember reading these the first time around, and someone will remember just hearing about these later. But it really was history in the making. It felt like it at the time, and now it still does.
Well, it really feels like history because when you put it all together in one cohesive work like this and see how writings of the 1980s apply to today and how the actual thought behind what was being talked about has not gone out of date at all, how it still applies. That is something that it really brings it home, makes you realize that, wow, we have been living history this whole time. And seeing the internet form right in front of our eyes, seeing how hackers were viewed in years past and how they're viewed today, you realize some things have changed and some things have not changed. Now, we had quite a task, and I guess maybe I should point out while we're talking about the book that it is available for a pledge of $75, an autographed copy personally made out to you. If you pledge $75, you'll get a copy of the Best of 2600, 888 pages with a personalized autograph.
Now, what if you're one of the many anonymous donors who always pledges?
Well, yeah, anonymous means that you don't have your name read over the air, but you have to give your name if you're going to pledge something because we have to send you a letter or get your credit card information or something like that. So a pledge of 212-209-2950 of $75 will get you an autographed, personalized copy of The Best of 2600. And I think that's pretty cool. We did this once before, and we had a lot of them, and Wiley has been kind enough to donate more to the station. So it's a cool thing. Now, give us a Rob T. Firefly. You have the book open right now.
Indeed.
Tell us the article that you just happen to be open at right now.
I happen to be on An Interpretation of Computer Hacking from Spring 1988. Written by someone called Captain Zapp.
Oh, you know, you picked the most controversial article I think we ever printed, because Captain Zapp he sort of took an anti-hacker view, which we printed because we believe in printing all different viewpoints. But boy, did that get a backlash! And we had I think there's an article that follows that from somebody that had some very choice remarks to say.
Yes, indeed. Someone called The Rancid Grapefruit wrote in with a reader's reply to Captain Zapp for summer 1988.
Yeah, and you know that was 1988. We had been publishing for 4 years. We started in January of 1984. So there were all sorts of back and forths going on. There was the BBS era. And you know what was interesting about this? It was a daunting task when we first started the process. And not Kevin, you were a part of this process. We basically had every single article that was ever written in the magazine. We had to somehow pick out which ones were the best. But, you know, just throwing them all into a book, that was something that, how do you do that? How do you throw all these articles together? What are the themes? How do you even define the themes? Is it computers? Is it phones? Is it security? Is it hacking? Is it freaking? There are so many things that apply to different different categories. So basically, we sort of stumbled upon the answer that decades are the dividing lines. We have three decades, 1980s, 1990s, and the 2000s. And the constant throughout those decades actually was us, the hackers, because we've existed throughout the entire thing. And we have the same basic philosophy now as we did back then. And the whole world has changed around us. Everything has changed. All the technology has changed, all the phones, all the computers. Everybody is now into technology. Back then, very few people were. And you see that. You see that sort of unravel in front of you. And it's fascinating to just watch the evolution. So 212-209-2950, you can be a part of that. Get an autographed copy of The Best of 2600.
Yeah, it's really something reading through this because the hacker community, you go back far enough, and the hacker community was sort of a very sort of subcultural, exclusive sort of thing. Not everyone had a computer in the house. Not everyone you know, gave much thought to what was going on when they picked up a telephone. And when you read the articles from that period, there's just the tone behind it that we were basically talking to each other and no one else. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were reading this magazine, if you were involved in this culture, you basically were, you could assume several things about you. And as you go later, and I think this section is actually called "The World Discovers Hackers," where you know, things started leaking out into the quote unquote mainstream, and you know how us as a culture dealt with that, and how we changed and adapted to keep up or keep ahead of the world around us.
It's, you know, you mentioned something there that definitely strikes home. There were what's the right way to say that? There were a lot fewer of us. How do you say that?
Far fewer.
Thank you, Voltaire. There are far fewer of us then than there are now. So that when you actually were talking about this or writing an article or something like that or on a bulletin board, you almost knew everybody else that was part of it. When you went to a conference, conferences at the most had about maybe 60, 70 people at the most. Those are the big ones, SummerCon, things like that. So it was a small community, and we all knew each other. And I miss those days. I miss those days where it was so intimate, and it's gotten so huge and so big now, and everybody's following it. So it's kind of lost something, but it has not lost the spirit, because I think a lot of people get it. A lot of people are into the whole thing. And I hope that we still are able to maintain our sense of community. I was convinced of that at Hope, that we were able to keep that community together, even though we had a few thousand people there. But it's definitely, the times changed so much.
Yeah, and while we did lose some things as the world changed, I think we gained some other things too. We gained, I guess you could call it street smarts, where mm-hmm. people now generally know how to talk to the media or talk to someone who is not of our community and try and explain things. As certain skills atrophied, we picked up other ones, and that constant thirst to keep on top of things, keep ahead of things, that's a major part of the hacker mindset, I think.
Bernie, well, you remember those days too. You have quite a few articles in this book as well.
Well, thank you, and yes, I remember that. Well, it's just been such a long, strange trip, an odyssey over the past.
That's the subtitle of the book, A Hacker Odyssey. Wow.
There we go.
Of course you knew that.
I wasn't thinking about that, but it really has been an odyssey of not just the quarter century that 2600 has been around and documenting the evolution of communications technology and how it affects our society, but it goes back even farther than that, as you and some of our other listeners will recall. And it's looking back over this book, which you can receive by calling 212-209-2950 and pledging, is it $75, is that right?
$75, you'll get your personalized copy, autographed, made out to you.
And it's just really, even those of us who have been really intimately involved with the hacker community over the past few decades, it's such a blast from the past and sort of a back to the future kind of thing. When you read this book and you look through these articles, you remember all kinds of things you had forgotten about that are just sort of scrolled away back in
read-only memory in the back of your mind, it's like, wow, I'd forgotten all about this.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to see the connections, how this incident led to that incident, led to this incident, led to this development, led to where we are today. And a lot of people don't really see how we got where we are today without looking back over all the developments over the years.
But those people also who were not part of that, some people weren't even alive back then, this is a great way to see what it was like and to read the words of people back then and to say, wow, you know, this is what I would have been doing had I been around then. And you can sort of see how it all developed and makes sense. If you know nothing about the hacker world, this is your foot in the door. This is how to learn what it's all about.
And like any other community, we have our history, and it's our job to learn from it as best we can.
Absolutely. Bernie?
I just say it's really exciting stuff. I mean, you start to look at the stuff and you realize, wow, what an amazing period in history we've all been lucky enough to live through, at least those of us who are old enough. And some of us who are listening to the show haven't been around as long as this book has been documented. All the articles in this book have documented the history of the hacker culture. But the point is, when you look at where we've been and how we've gotten where we are today, you begin to form in your mind an idea of where we could go from here. You just start to see certain trends and so forth, and you really can't appreciate where we're going unless you see where we've been. So that's why I urge listeners to call 212-209-2950.
I've heard that said before.
$75.
Yeah, $75 will get you the autographed copy of The Best of 2600, hardcover, 888 pages. Voltaire.
I was just going to say that I think the most interesting thing about the book is that it starts with 1984 when 2600 started, and that's the same year that Stephen Levy published the history of hackers, basically.
His book Hackers came out in 1984. Yeah. Not only that, but that's when the first Chaos Communication Congress took place. That's when Frack magazine started. That's when the Cult of the Dead Cow came into existence. All these things in the hacker world just sort of happened in 1984, and it was unintentional. We didn't intentionally say, you know what, we're going to start January 1st, 1984. It just sort of worked out that way. And I guess, you know, people in a certain place at a certain time, it's maybe fate. But you can learn all about it just by calling and pledging. $75, 212-209-2950, autographed copy. Again, we also have the sweatshirt for a pledge of $50, the 2600 sweatshirt in whatever size you want. $30, you'll get the new 2600 T-shirt. And, of course, any pledge 30 and above gets an off-the-hook T-shirt in addition. And you can combine all these deals and get as much as you possibly can. We take credit cards. We can bill you, all sorts of things.
I'm supposed to tell you that this week is the only week that for $30 you'll be able to get two T-shirts at that pledge level.
Is that true?
That's true.
Okay.
So if you want this opportunity, you should take it.
Yeah, you better take it. You'd be crazy not to. 212-209-2950.
I was going to say that.
All right. Well, say it again. Go
212-209-2950.
We have three calls on the line. You know, I can't read this damn TV screen. Can somebody fix this? I have no idea if we're getting a lot of pledges or no pledges.
There's no way to know.
It was working when we came in. Pretty sure it was.
Wasn't working when I came in, but...
Well, let's analyze this. It's a scrambled picture. So does that indicate a connection issue on the back? We've twisted all the dials. So I don't think it's a dial issue. Come on, you guys are technical people, supposedly.
The only way I think that we can solve this problem is if our listeners pledge and we just raise so much money that the people have to come running in from the tally room to tell us about it.
Yeah, that might happen, but they might stay there too because they're getting so many calls. Yeah, I almost saw the number just now. It's so scrambled. It's like trying to watch porn on HBO if you don't have it.
You can't say that.
Well, actually, you can't even get porn on HBO. But the point is, that's what people used to do, is, you know, they get that those pay TV channels and they try to, like, you know, squint their eyes and see things that way. That's what we have to do to see what our pledge level is.
Yeah, I could probably fix this if I had a 1980s era cable box on me, but unfortunately, I don't.
I think we're at 550. I see a number like that, so that might be what we're at, which is good, but not good enough. We need to get over 1,000, and we need to do it pretty quickly. Yes, Bernie, go ahead.
I was going to say, we could call our friend... Dan Morgan, the former publisher of Satellite Watch News, who one of the many things we've covered over the years on this radio show about a publisher who published information of a technical nature that upset certain corporations and government authorities, who was really just crucified, and his publication was shut down, his life was ruined, that sort of thing. Dan Morgan knew everything there was to know about descrambling video, so perhaps he could have helped us out if he was in the studios right now. The most important thing, though, is for listeners to call not to get these premiums, which is just a bonus, but to support WBAI, which is the only radio station in the country that would air a program like Off the Hook for 20 years now. You're not going to find any other station, let alone a powerful station in the middle of New York City, is going to air this kind of material. So please call 212-209-2950. Pledge your support at any level for this kind of programming.
That's right. 212-209-2950. We have down to two calls on the line now, so we definitely have room for more. You guys want to banter on? I'm going to actually go to the back of that TV set and try to fix it myself.
That's high tech.
Yeah.
I think the important thing for our listeners to note is that, you know, even though we have some technical problems like this from time to time, WBAI is the only radio station that would put us on the air and would put us on the air for almost 20 years. So if you want us to stay on the air, and if you want the station to stay on there so they can continue putting other programs like ours and very much unlike ours on the air, the number to call is 212-209-2950. We have all these premiums we've talked about. We have the new T-shirt in your choice of size for $30. We have the hooded sweatshirt with a pledge level of $50. And we have the book personally autographed to you with a pledge level of $75. You can combine, so you can get them all for, I guess, $155. You can get some, you can get none. You can just give your money straight to the station and ask that we not give you anything in return. The number, 212-209-2950. So please call, pledge your support.
You'll tell me if the picture's getting better, because I can't see it from back here.
It's getting no better.
It's getting no better?
There's no change in the picture.
I play with all the wires back here. It's insane.
Well, I might also add that even if you can't donate at the level to get the premiums we've been talking about, it's still every little bit helps. If you want to donate $10, $5, if you just want to send us some pens that we can use, everything helps.
212-209-2950 is the phone number, and we still don't know exactly how much we've raised, but.
I have a theory about the TV set. I just came back from over there. I'm all dusty now. But Red Hack, you seem to have some information?
Yeah, we've raised around $400-something dollars.
I thought it said $550. Say $550? It's less than I thought. That's the problem with scrambled communication. All right, we need to get those phone lines lit. 212-209-2950. I have a theory, though, about the television issue here. The cable must connect to something, right? How does it get to the tally room?
I think the problem's in the tally room.
Yeah, so maybe if somebody checked the connection on the other end, maybe that's where the issue is. I think that's what we have to do, is send somebody down there and check the connection and maybe check the wire between here and there as well.
I volunteer Kevin.
Well, might as well. He hasn't said anything in about 20 minutes, so.
Every time I say something, I keep coughing, so I'm trying not to say anything. So
well, then you can spread germs in all parts of the station then. Go ahead. Actually, you have a degree in AV, so you can figure this stuff out pretty Yeah, I guess that does say 455 instead of all right, whatever.
Actually read that. It's a black.
I can read it. No, I can. It's all scrambly. Uh-huh. But if you scramble your eyes to go with it, you can read it.
It's one of those magic.
I'm sorry, our listeners can't possibly appreciate this, but we're trying to look at a little monitor that's all scrambled, and that has the results of how we're doing as far as calls. I see we have four calls on the line, which is good, but those could be four people calling to complain. 212-209-2950. Again, we have different pledge levels. People at Tally Room will be able to tell you all about them. Sweatshirts, T-shirts, signed books, all kinds of neat things. 212-209-2950. We have people to thank?
Yes, we do.
Well, why don't you thank them?
All right. I'd like to thank Vincent from Livingston, New Jersey.
Okay.
We want to thank Nicole, who's from Chicago.
Illinois.
David from Greenbrook, New Jersey.
Greenbrook, New Jersey.
Jack from Queens Village.
Okay.
Christina from Charleston, West Virginia.
All right.
Harriet from the Bronx.
And
cool.
B from Plainfield, New Jersey.
B-E-A or just the initial B?
No, just B, just the initial B.
From where?
Plainfield, New Jersey.
All right. Well, thank you, B, for your pledge.
And I also want to thank the volunteers who seem to have unusually legible handwriting tonight for their... for their work.
That's good. That's good.
There's a lot of them, and they wish that you would call.
And we'd also like to thank...
Oh, you were looking at me when you said that. Oh, okay, because I'm busy.
But. And we'd also like to thank those who did not wish their names read on the air, but whose contributions are just as appreciated.
Absolutely. All the money's green, so that's what counts.
A lot of it's electronic. It just comes by magic when you call 212 209-2950, they can take your credit card number and just speed your pledge along.
It's so weird not having communication between the two rooms. It's like it's in a foreign country or something. We just send Kevin out into the night to like to get us information back, and it's just it's kind of scary in a way.
We'll never see him again.
Well, maybe not. He's trying to fix the signal. Okay, we have some stories, actually. Yes, we do have some news stories of things that have been happening in the world, and we'd like to get to those as well. Well, first of all, you might have heard a few things involving hackers or quote-unquote hackers in the last few days. We didn't actually get a chance. You didn't accomplish anything, Kevin.
I accomplished absolutely nothing. It's apparently the monitor's broken.
This monitor's broken?
Yes, the monitor, not the camera.
And I don't suppose we have another monitor somewhere.
Not that I know of.
Well, Mike seems to have an idea as to what to do. What if you plugged it into the TV set that's next to it? Could you do that? Because there's a TV set right next to that little monitor.
It's got the same coax connection.
Yeah, we don't like that TV set anyway because it usually has TV on it. Okay, we basically have all heard about the large, how do you say it, Hadron Collider?
Hadron
Collider, yeah. Okay. And
it's broken.
Yeah. This was supposed to end the world a few weeks ago. But actually, the fact is that even if it was going to end the world, it wouldn't be able to do that for a few months because they have to get things working first. Now, there was a whole big controversy about this. This is supposed to simulate the events in the microseconds after the Big Bang. And
I actually saw a really funny webcomic that was – it said – you know, moments before the Big Bang, and you see a bunch of aliens like, okay, we're about to turn on the Large Hadron Collider.
I saw that too. Yeah. I saw that too. And then there's the website that tells you if it's destroyed the world yet, and
right.
It just says no right now. I haven't checked it recently, but it says no. I don't know if it'll say yes if it does.
They don't have to, really. They've got the best website in the world.
It's
no
pretty
one's
going to
check it if they don't update it.
That's true. So they don't really have to do any work.
I wonder if they have an RSS feed.
Well, in any event, yes. So that was turned on a couple of weeks ago. But then this group calling itself the Greek Security Team hacked into a computer connected to the system. That was, I believe, two Wednesdays ago. And the website, the compact, how do you say this word? M-U-O-N?
Muon.
Muon. Do you know what a muon is? Does anybody know what a muon
is? It's a particle.
All right. Compact.
I know that.
Compact muon solenoid experiment, known as CMS. They basically got into that website, and it displayed a page with a mocking message in Greek, which included the line, "We are 2600. Don't mess with us." And I read this on the BBC news site here, and what they say is the number 2600 is often used by the hacking community. It is believed to have originated in the U.S. in the 1960s with the discovery that a tone of 2600 hertz played down the line could be used to access restricted parts of the national telephone system. Well, that's mostly true, but it's kind of funny that they don't mention anything else about 2600, about the people involved in it and things like that. Maybe they don't know. It's possible they just don't know and the knowledge was never carried on from one group of journalists to another.
Perhaps they do know and they just don't want to mess with us.
That could be, but we've already messed with them. Actually, no, we had nothing to do with this. Nobody at 2600 had anything to do with this. And it's kind of funny because...
I don't even know anyone of us who speaks Greek.
We haven't gotten calls from the media about this. So maybe either they know or we've somehow gone back into the underworld and they don't know about us. It'd be kind of cool.
I think they sent all the media inquiries to Atari.
Yeah, maybe that's what happened.
Well, if they want to learn about us, they can call up right now and buy the book for $75.
That's right. That's right. 212-209-2950. Mike, you didn't accomplish a damn thing over there, did
no,
you?
No, nothing at all.
You found a poster, though? You found one of our Big Brother posters.
Yeah, I found a Big Brother poster.
What's that doing there? That's one of our posters.
It's much more mysterious than anything else.
It's framed. There's a framed poster. Big Brother is watching you. And that was made by Fred, the same artist who made
the
T-shirt.
Hope.
Yeah, and somehow that's – where was it? It was.
It's just back there. It's still back there.
Okay. Why don't we hang it up? Put it on
the
wall.
We could offer it as a premium.
We could offer it as a premium, but we only have one. That would be a good premium. I might want that premium.
As do I.
Yeah. Well, we'll fight for it later.
Yeah. 212-209-2950.
Yes.
I was going to say the premiums that we are, in fact, offering, and, of course, the greatest premium of all, the radio station itself, 212-209-2950.
That's
we
right.
have the new T-shirts, the sweatshirts, the books, and, as I said, a radio station.
Now, continuing with news here, the website of Iraq's most influential Shiite cleric was hacked two Fridays ago with the attackers' messages saying they are Sunnis upset over fatwas or edicts issued on the site. An entity called Group XP placed a video of comedian Bill Maher making fun of Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani and his advice to the Shiite faithful, as well as posting messages on the site. The hackers said they are upset at the sexual nature of the advice given to faithful, allegedly by al-Sistani through a spokesperson. Those who have studied the attack believe that the Bill Maher video is meant to illustrate how such advice promotes mockery of Islam. And again, we had nothing to do with that, and I don't know anybody who did have something to do with that, and I don't even know if hacking is the right way to describe that. I mean, it's you have to figure something out in order to hack a website, but it's interesting to see these things happening to controversial and very public sites.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. I mean, on the one hand, it's defacement, and it's, but on the other hand, it's sort of, I guess, political in a way. So they're using, they're trying to get their word out. So it's kind of like it kind of walks the line in that they're doing sort of damage, but at the same time, they're.
Well, it's not really damage. If they don't delete something, if they just simply rename files, and, you know, most of the time that's what happens. They simply replace one file and make the image say something that gets attention. And, yeah, it's mischief. It's a prank. But, of course, in some countries it's punishable by death.
Yeah. I mean, essentially it's like anonymously going into the town square, I guess, and yelling your message, except you can't get shot. Well,
you could get shot. Yeah, it's entirely possible.
I also remember reading a translation, at least a loose translation of the Greek text on the LHC hack, and I seem to remember them writing that they helpfully closed the hole that allowed them to break in and do what they did.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
How about that? And then, of course, we have the Sarah Palin incident.
Do we have to talk about Sarah Palin?
We have to talk about the incident. We don't necessarily have to talk about her. But here's what happened. Her email was hacked. That's what the media is reporting. But what happened was that Yahoo, she was using a Yahoo email account. Big
to
surprise.
Conduct government business, Big which surprise. Is ridiculous.
Well, yeah, but actually it's a well thought out strategy because you don't have to keep records. You don't have to maintain the historical nature of your email if it's a commercial entity.
It's a way of avoiding these things that are meant to give politicians some sort of what's it called?
Checks and balances.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if that is the case, has it been proven that she was conducting government business through a Yahoo account?
Well, you can see from the list of some of the subjects that the people that she's conversing with and the topics that they're conversing about are clearly have to do with the state of Alaska and not with, you know, her children or her dogs.
Right, right. Well, if that's the case, then do we not have an obligation to try and hack that account to find out that public information?
It wasn't exactly a hack. It was just plugging in public information
here's what
into
happened.
The password recovery.
Yeah, basically all the email sites, Google, Gmail, Yahoo, Microsoft's Hotmail, they all have little hint questions in case you forget your password. And in this particular case, somebody was able to retrieve her password or reset her password simply by answering the question, where did you meet your spouse? And they also had to have her login name, the date of birth, zip code, all things that are very easy to figure out. Now, she's widely known to be the lifetime resident of Wasilla, Alaska, so the zip code was easily deciphered. A quick Google search revealed her date of birth, and any of the approximately 40 million people who listened to the GOP convention acceptance speech were informed that she met her husband in high school. So an amateur who fiddled with the wording a bit, Wasilla High being the correct response, had access within minutes. So, I mean, how many of us are dumb enough, and I use that term with all due respect, dumb enough to actually use a question that can reset your password that is so easy to figure out? For instance, what is my favorite color? That's not a good question because you can get it generally in about three guesses. All right. If you ask what is my first pet's name, and your answer is I don't know. Is what?
Fido.
No, your answer is blue. Maybe it's like a completely different answer to a question or six. You mix them up a little bit. That's what you have to do. Then maybe you have some semblance of security. But in any event, keeping all kinds of government business on a Yahoo account, that's just bad and it's illegal as well.
Yeah, that's a bad idea. I mean, you know what the current, I think, suggestion or thinking is that you come up with something ridiculously complicated and then write it down. Because honestly, if you for most people, if they don't write it down, then they'll just put something easy in, right? So
right.
If you really want to be secure and you have a physical location where you can put these things, then I mean, my personal suggestion would be come up with something ridiculous and then just write it down.
Now, they say that Gmail has the best password recovery process, the most secure. They require personally identifiable information, but lets users either create their own question or answer one of four Google-selected questions, primary frequent flyer number, which seems to be pretty easy to get, library card number, again, not that difficult, first phone number. Do you remember your first phone number? I don't. Or first teacher's name, and that's something you can just make up. Now, if a user forgets his or her password, Google will send password reset information to the secondary email address a user provided when signing up. But if the user lost the password to that account, no longer had access to it, or did not provide a second email address, Google requires a waiting period of 5 days before resetting the password. So it seems like there's some balances. It's not enough, I don't think, but there's some ways of protecting your account.
Well, at least those questions are not easily guessable in general. I mean,
well, you also
library card number, you'd basically have to go to the person's library and do some social engineering to get it. It's definitely possible, but it's a matter of how much work do you want to put in. This person probably didn't want to go to Wasilla, Alaska and go to the library.
But you also have to look at the mentality of whoever makes an account like this and makes such easily guessable questions be the security. This is somebody that's going to be in charge of the nation's security. You have to sort of ask yourself, shouldn't they be more clever than this?
This could actually be a good thing. If we can find – wouldn't you like to have access to Dick Cheney's email address? Like, that would be awesome. So maybe if Sarah Palin –
I'd have to wash my hands every time I use the keyboard.
But
yeah.
Maybe if Sarah Palin continues to be this dumb, we can, you know, really learn what's going on.
I think Dick Cheney is a bit too conniving for it to be that easy. But no, I mean – but I think the important point of this whole thing is the fact that she is using a personal email address to conduct government business, which is a big no-no already because
right. It
leaves no trail, or in theory it doesn't. And number two, I had another point and I can't remember it. I'm so mad.
Well, Bernie has a point that he wants to bring up from over in San Francisco. Go ahead, Bernie.
What I think Red Hack, the point was going to be is that some have claimed that this group or individuals who successfully compromised Sarah Palin's personal email account that was being used to conduct official business, which is against the Alaska law, were performing a public service because the government and business, the people's business was being conducted over a personal account, and the public had no access to that information by subpoenaing government record. So one could argue, and I'm not going to say whether I feel personal whether they're doing a public service or not, but whoever did this, there is a good argument to say that they were performing a public service by exposing this government information, which should be available to the public.
Well, let's put it this way. If law enforcement was on to this, they would have a subpoena and they would enter your home or your email account to try and find evidence. What happened here is that a person did it instead. I don't know if that was their intent, but they found something and they shared what they could.
2 points. One, this actually I think probably is one of the first major uses that WikiLeaks has actually gotten a lot of publicity on, WikiLeaks being the site that hosted the images of her email address and various excerpts of emails.
WikiLeaks.org, is that what it is?
I believe.
Okay.
But the idea there is that it's a place where people can anonymously post these leaked bits of information. And I keep forgetting my second point.
You keep forgetting your second. Why don't you just make one point, all right?
Yeah.
Let's leave it at that. Not Kevin.
The person who did this was just recently caught.
That's right. That was my second point.
Yeah, yeah. And I wonder what's going to happen to them because wasn't he the son of a Democratic state congressman or something like that?
Something like that.
I'm surprised they haven't jumped all over
Tennessee.
That.
Another thing that blows my mind about this whole case is that, you know, I'm no politician, I'm no rock star or anything, but she is a public figure. Why does she have her important material on Yahoo, of all things, a publicly available free webmail thing? You know?
Let's not get too personal. We're going to have to answer all sorts of email.
Yeah.
Interesting follow-up to this. Days after Fox News political pundit Bill O'Reilly condemned the cracking of Sarah Palin's Yahoo email account, his own website fell victim to political hacktivism. Over the weekend, over 205 plain text passwords belonging to BillO'Reilly.com site members spread across the internet. Now, WikiLeaks, which describes its website as developing an uncensorable Wikipedia for untraceable mass document leaking and analysis, is largely credited with the original posting of fairly innocuous information retrieved from Palin's email account, including pictures of her daughter, her contact list, and emails, including one purportedly from an appointee urging Palin not to worry about negative press. In a Fox News clip circulating on YouTube, O'Reilly spoke out against the leak. "I'm not going to mention the website that posted this," he said, "but it's one of those despicable, slimy, scummy websites. Everybody knows where this stuff is, okay, and they know the people who run the website. So why can't they go there tonight to the guy's house who runs it, put him in cuffs, and take him down and book him?" Oh, it's fun to be Bill O'Reilly. It really is. Get
your
blood.
Because that's illegal, Bill.
In an announcement reporting the O'Reilly leak, WikiLeaks stated on its site, "It's evident from the remark that no one bothered to tell O'Reilly that WikiLeaks is a multinational bulletproof organization that has successfully withstood serious takedown efforts before." Have these guys been at Hope? Because they should be. They haven't been.
I don't know if they leave their bunker.
So anyway, his site was hacked as well. So yeah, a lot of stuff's going on out there. It's very interesting. Very interesting and volatile.
You know, we should conquer all those nations. That way we can make sure that this thing gets taken down.
Well, you've gotten jaded. What's going on over there?
I just have one question. Uh-huh. What is a BillO'Reilly.com site member exactly?
I don't know. Why don't we join and find out? And then when our information gets leaked, we can commiserate.
I read a little bit more into the story, and the Bill O'Reilly website has a forum where you can pay money to be premium member. And apparently 205 members that joined last week because of his story had all their accounts stolen.
What does that mean, though? What do you get when you steal the site member database?
Were their credit card numbers? Were their social security numbers?
You apparently, get to be a gun-toting bigot.
Apparently what they stole was the password, hometown, cell phone number, and full name.
This doesn't sound that interesting.
No. Wow. Not particularly.
All right. Well, believe it or not, we have more security here at the radio station than either the vice presidential candidate or Bill O'Reilly. That's right. Your information is safe here. If you call us 212-209-2950 and pledge to this radio station, you'll be supporting free speech. You'll be keeping discussions like this going, and you'll be getting some really cool stuff in exchange. You'll be getting 2,600 T-shirts, sweatshirts, signed copies of our book, Off the Hook T-shirts, all sorts of things. But you got to call 212-209-2950, and you got to do it in the next couple of minutes because we're running out of time. I can't see through that damn TV set if we've broken 1,000. I think we have broken 1,000. It looks like we're at 1,200 or so. That's good. That's good. We should be getting closer to 2,000, and you guys can do that out there who have not called yet.
There's no calls on the line, which means the pledge volunteers are probably just like sitting there wondering what is wrong with Off the Hook listeners, mm-hmm. that they're not calling 212-209-2950. And we want the pledge volunteers to think highly of us.
They won't think what's wrong with the listeners. They'll think what's wrong with us. What are we saying that's getting people to not call? You know,
probably because we mentioned Bill O'Reilly.
Maybe just mentioning that name is enough. But if this conversation kept you listening, think about pledging. Think about giving us a call, 212-209-2950. Not only do you get this station continuing for many years to come, but you'll get for a pledge of $30, you'll get two T-shirts, the Off the Hook shirt and the brand new 2600 telephone espionage shirt. For a pledge of $50, you'll get the Off the Hook T-shirt and a 2600 hooded sweatshirt. For a pledge of $75, you'll get the Off the Hook T-shirt and a signed copy of The Best of 2600, hardcover, 888 pages. Can't get any better than that. 212-209-2950. That's our telephone number. Give us a call. Operators are standing by. We have three calls on the line now, and we're almost out of time. Walter.
I think pledging might be the best way to help fight people like Bill O'Reilly, because you'll be supporting programs like this where we educate people about how to...
You don't think he'd like us? You don't think he'd like our show?
Nah.
Really? Can we get an answer from Bill O'Reilly's people? Do you like Off the Hook or do you not like Off the Hook? I'd just like to know. Maybe an intern there can help us just ask the question, you know, play a couple of shows for him. And I'm just curious because, you know, for years now I've tried to impress him and I just haven't gotten anything back. So I don't know. Maybe he's in awe or something.
Well, if he invites you for an interview, I suggest not going because you won't get a word in. I don't know.
Oh, I'd go. I'd go.
Have you ever? I assume you've seen the show.
I testified in front of Congress. If I do that, then I do this.
Well,
you know?
I mean,
I got invited to a lawsuit. I got invited to several lawsuits. I showed up for those. You know,
he'll yell at anybody with a differing opinion.
I can yell back. I can. Yeah. I don't, but I can.
But he has. I don't want to talk about
Corona. If you want us to continue speaking in polite tones of voice about interesting things, then call 212-209-2950 and keep us on the air.
Okay, yeah, and we are pretty much out of time right now, so I want to thank those people who have called so far and thank those of you who are walking or running to your phones right now about to dial 212-209-2950, pledge for the T-shirts, the sweatshirts, the books, and whatever else. And I also want to apologize to people for what I'm about to do. I'm about to play a song that was suggested by our friend down in Australia, Alpha Centauri, the guy who helped us get Adam Savage to speak at Hope and wasn't able to attend himself, unfortunately. He suggested this song a few months ago as a telephone-related song, and it's something that I think will stick in your head for the rest of the year. Sorry.
Banana phone. Ring, 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 ring. Banana phone. I've got this feeling so appealing for us to get together and sing, sing. Ring, 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 ring. Banana phone. Ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding. Banana phone. It grows in bunches. I've got my hunches. It's the best, beats the rest. Cellular, modular, interactive, modular. Ring, 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 ring. Banana phone. Ping, pong, ping, pong, ping, pong, ping. Banana phone. It's no baloney. It ain't a phony. My cellular, bananular phone. Don't need dimes to call a friend of mine. Don't need computer or TV to have a real good time. I'll call for pizza, I'll call my cat, I'll call the White House, have a chat. I'll place a call around the world. Operator, get me Beijing, jing, jing, jing. Cellular, bananular phone. Banana phone, ring, ring, ring.
It's a phone with a peel.
Banana phone, ring, ring, ring.
Now you can have your phone and eat it too.
Banana phone, ring, ring, ring.
This song drives me bananas.
Banana phone, ring, ring, ring.
Banana phone. Oh my goodness, they've got all the great hit songs here at WBAI.